Thanks so much for joining us for this edition of the Lights of Spiritual Guidance. Since 1937, this program's purpose has been to send forth the light of the gospel. I trust the program will be a blessing, and you will enjoy this broadcast of the Lights of Spiritual Guidance. Good morning, and thanks so much for listening to this edition of the Lights of Spiritual Guidance on this final weekend of the month of September. And I am finishing up revival services this final weekend of September, Orleans, Indiana, at the Church of the Nazarene, September 26th to 28th. And then, looking over into the month of October, October 5 to 8, I'll be traveling to New Boston, Ohio, to Cedar Street Church of Christ and Christian Union, October 5 to 8, and then October 19 to 22, Chester, West Virginia, at the Church of the Nazarene, and then finishing out the month of October, October 26 to 29, at Hurricane Church of the Nazarene, Hurricane, West Virginia. So I do covet your prayers as I am involved in these revival meetings. I do need for you to help us if we're to stay on your radio station. As I've noted during the month of September, the month of August was a month where I saw the least amount of listener support since I've been producing this program since the year 2000. So would you pray about helping us stay on your radio station? You can write to me, The Lights of Spiritual Guidance, 1915 Cottage Avenue, Columbus, Indiana, 47201. Or you can go to our website, lomanministries.org, and give through Venmo or PayPal. It would mean so much. Well, we have eliminated one of the special numbers in song today so that you can hear most of Dad's sermon that we began last week, titled Infinite Realities. And I do hope that you enjoy the message. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for our listening audience. And I pray that the program today would be a blessing, that Dad's sermon would touch the hearts of the people that are listening, and the music that we have provided will also encourage the soul. We love you today, and we thank you so much for your goodness in our lives, and we believe that you'll always supply the need for the lights of spiritual guidance. We love you today, Father. Thank you for Jesus and the wonderful ministry of the Holy Spirit, and for your precious word. We give you thanks. I ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Don't forget to write to me, The Lights of Spiritual Guidance, 1915 Cottage Avenue, Columbus, Indiana, 47201. Or go to our website. You can give through Venmo or PayPal there. May God bless you as you listen today.
Just remember in His word how He feeds the little bird. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. Surely bring you out. Take your burden to the Lord. and leave it there. Now if your body suffers pain and your health you can't regain and your soul is slowly sinking in despair, Jesus knows the pain you feel. He can save and He can heal. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. Oh, if you'll trust and never doubt, He will surely lead you out. So take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. Just leave it there.
Some years ago, you'll pardon this personal reference, my wife and I and Leslie were at the Rising Sun Ohio camp meeting up near Findlay. And we left that camp meeting after the afternoon service. On Sunday, I had to get back to North Carolina to start a meeting Monday night. And we hadn't gone 100 miles when my wife became rather desperately ill. I stopped in Charleston, West Virginia, put her to bed in a motel. The next morning, got her situated comfortably in the car and got on home, and immediately I put her under the care of her doctor and a specialist. Her doctor said to me, he said, Mr. Lohman, she is sick. In fact, he said she could have possibly a terminal malignancy. She couldn't keep a thing in her system. Everything of solid food that she ate made her so sick. And I saw her waste away from 112 down below 90 pounds. That was in August. In October, I had to change my schedule, have Janice to come home and help with her mother. And I saw her as she lay there on that bed the first Sunday night in October. She couldn't take a thing but some liquids. And I was feeding her some ice out of a spoon after midnight. And I was supposed to start a meeting the next morning in the United Methodist Church, Faith United Methodist Church in Cartersville, Georgia. And I said, honey, I can't leave you. I'm going to call the preacher and ask him to let me put the meeting off. Or come in late, and I'll never forget it. She said, don't put that meeting off. She said, you go on, and if I don't get better, or if I slip away, they'll call you. At her insistence, I left at 3 o'clock that Sunday morning. I kissed her goodbye, and I got out on Interstate 85, and I started toward Atlanta. And beloved, I began to pray. I began to thank the Lord that He'd given Elizabeth to me. And how she had worked and paid the bills while I went back to Bible school. How that she had stood by me and held up my hands and prayed for me. Never one time a derogatory word toward my ministry, but always prayer and faith and encouragement. And I told the Lord all about that. But I said, Lord, if you need her more in the kingdom, in the city, than I need her here, I'm resigned to your will. But I know you could touch her. And I said, you promised in your word that if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you can ask what you will and it shall be done. And to call on me and I will show thee great and mighty things which thou knewest not. I got out in the edge of Georgia about 7:30 that morning, and all of a sudden, the load lifted. The clouds disappeared. The sunlight of his glory broke in on the horizon of my soul. I went on the meeting, preached that morning, and I had lost so much sleep, I slept most of Sunday afternoon. Went to the church that night, brought my message. I didn't wait till I got to the parsonage to call home, but I went in to the pastor's study and I called home, and to my amazing surprise, Elizabeth answered the phone. And I said, "Honey, I can't believe this. What happened?" And she's not really given to too much emotion, but her voice broke. She said, "Harold, this morning about 7:30. She said, "It seemed like a canopy settled right down over my bed. And every bit of that nausea left me. And every bit of that sickness left me." She said, "I got up enough strength to fix a bite of breakfast, and I've been to church twice today." And you see, beloved, when you know him, you can be a partaker of his promise. And the promises are there. Oh, beloved, we're living so far beneath our privilege. So many things that he's made available to us. I remember some years ago, and you'll pardon another personal reference, I was at Perrysburg, Ohio. And beloved, as I stated, I've been on the radio for years, never had a commercial sponsor. Always a work of faith. And some of you sitting here today, more than one time, and I just want to say this because that's the way I feel. Some of you have contributed largely to our radio ministry across the years, and I appreciate it. But that particular week, I owed two radio stations $50 apiece, and I never go in debt to a radio station. And I was praying this particular morning, and I said, "Lord, you promised me you'd supply the need." And I said, "You know what the need is. There's two stations that I must pay in the next week. And I don't know where it'll come from, but I'm going to trust you. You promised to supply the need." And beloved, I prayed clear through. Holy Spirit spoke to me, nudged me, and said, "Tonight in the service, you request prayer for your radio ministry." I said, "No, Lord, I don't want to do that here. These people don't hear my program, and I don't want to lay that burden on their heart." And I just kind of pushed it off, not really to willfully grieve the Spirit, but all through the day, he'd nudged me. Said, "Don't forget to request prayer tonight for your radio ministry." And I kind of push it off. Got to church that night. This was Wednesday. Got to church that night. The lady was singing the special. And I'd kind of forgot about it. And all of a sudden, the Spirit nudged me again. "Don't forget to request prayer for your radio ministry." And I turned and asked the pastor for permission, because he knew, he used to live in North Carolina. He knew all about my ministry. And I said, "Brother King, do you mind if I request prayer for my radio ministry?" He said, "Not a bit, Brother Loman. You go right ahead." So when I got up, I said, "Folk, before I read the scripture and preach tonight, I've got a burden on my heart for one phase of my ministry. And I'd appreciate it if you'd pray for me." That's all I said. I brought my message. Had a good service. I went to the parsonage. And I was sitting at the table. The pastor's wife had fixed a cup of coffee. Pastor came in, pitched a piece of paper over on the table, rolled up about his size of my finger. He said, "A lady said, give you this." I unfolded that piece of paper, and out fell five $20 bills. And I read the note, and this is what it said. "Dear Brother Loman, Monday night," now this was Wednesday, "Monday night when I went home and I was having my devotions and I felt a burden for you. And I began to pray for you. And the Lord said he's got a need and you can help him." And she said, "I said, Lord, if Mr. Loman's got a need, would you let him request prayer for it in this meeting?" And she said, "Tonight when you requested prayer for that phase of your ministry," she said, "the Holy Spirit whispered," she said, "he said, that's his need and you can help him." And she said, "I hope this little gift will help you out." Why, help me out? It was right to the penny. Yes, just what I needed. Amen. You see, beloved, if you know something about the reality, the infinite reality of his presence, then you've got a right, beloved, to be a partaker of the promise in Christ. Oh, I wish I could stay there, but I've got to go on. He goes a step further and he talks about the unsearchable riches in Christ. unto me who am less than the least of all saints is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles, that's me and you, the unsearchable riches of Christ. But you say, Mr. Lohman, I don't have any riches. You're not talking about stocks and bonds. You're not talking about houses and lands, tangible assets. He's talking about riches the world doesn't know anything about. You see, you can have a lot of this world's good, but the book says the world passeth away and the lust thereof, but it's he that doeth the will of God that abides forever. And there's riches, beloved, eternal riches, all the riches of love in Christ Jesus. You tell me, beloved, what's richer than knowing the penalty of sin? You've been pardoned by the grace of God. You know something today about the power that changes your life. All those put together, beloved, make for spiritual riches in Christ Jesus. You can know that. Some of you have heard me refer to this. I used to pastor. I pastored 25 years. Pastored one church in North Carolina 14 years, and one Sunday morning revival was beginning, and at the close of that service, the poorest woman in my church walked up to me and she said, Brother Lohman, since meeting's going on, would you have dinner with me Tuesday? I thanked her for the invitation, told her I'd come. My church, my choir was situated like this is, and they were disassembling, and one of the better to do women of my church that had about anything tangibly, materially that you could want, she had it. And she came over to me and rather sarcastically she said, I just overheard your invitation for dinner Tuesday and you can't go to that house for dinner. I said, why? She said, now Mr. Lohman, you know that's the poorest home in this community. She doesn't have any modern conveniences. She's not prepared to fix a meal for our pastor. And if you're going to be here Tuesday, we'll have someone fix a presentable meal for you. I said, she may not have much of this world's goods and she may be poor. But I said, I'll decide myself whether I go or not. She said, you can't go. We'll have somebody else to fix a meal for you. I said, I'll still decide that myself. And I feel sorry for preachers that have to get permission. Amen. Tuesday, I knocked on that door. She invited me in. There wasn't any Brussels carpet, no Duncan Fife sofa, no lazy boy chair, no modern hi-fi TV or radio, no periodical in the book rack, just a little Bible, about two-thirds worn out. Had one rocking chair covered with black leatherette covering was split across the middle. And I waited, and finally she called me. She said, Brother Lohman, it's ready. Not to the dining room, she didn't have one. But into the kitchen, little homemade wooden table, covered with a piece of oil cloth. She didn't even have a napkin. And she set me down with a bowl of beans, a plate of cornbread, and a glass of water. She said, Brother Lohman, will you ask the blessing? Ladies and gentlemen, I did more than ask the blessing. I got blessed. Amen. When I got through praying, she was weeping. I said, Sister James, what's wrong? She said, Brother Lohman, you're the only preacher that's ever accepted an invitation to sit at my table. She said, I didn't have much to put on the table for you. And she said, I know that I'm poor in the eyes of the world, but she said, did you know I'm rich? And she was. She had riches, brother, the world doesn't know anything about. And you and I have the right to the unsearchable riches of Christ. Some years ago, a church changed pastors. And they'd got one of these little fellows that, pitifully so, he had to read his essay. And the first Sunday morning, he was reading his little essay. I don't suppose he intended to bless anybody, but he came across something that sounded pretty good to an old man back there, and that old man said, glory to God. And it upset the young preacher. He went to some of his board members and he said, who was that man that expressed himself vocally while I was preaching this morning? Oh, they said, he's one of the best men in the church. And he said, would you please go to him and tell him that I'm not used to that, and if he doesn't mind, would he try to refrain from being vocal while I'm trying to preach? They went to him. Oh, he said, I'm sorry if I disturbed my pastor. I didn't mean to. And I'll do my best to refrain. Next Sunday morning, he was reading his essay and didn't intend to bless anybody, but he came across something that sounded pretty good, that old man. That old man said, glory to God, hallelujah. And he lost his place. So he went to him. And he decided I'd just get him occupied the next Sunday. And he said, I went to my study and I got one of the driest old theology books you ever could ever imagine. And I asked him, would he go through that book while I was preaching Sunday morning and let me know what he thought about it after I was through. And he said, I began to read my message, and all of a sudden that old man jumped straight up. Said, hallelujah, glory. And that young fellow didn't know what to do. He went to him, he said, man, what on earth did you find in that old dry theology book that caused you to express yourself like that? Why, he said, Pastor, I read in that book where they never had found the bottom of the sea. And he said, I remembered that the Lord said he would cast my sins into the sea of his forgetfulness, never to be remembered against me no more. And I thought if that never found the depths of the sea and he cast my sins into the sea, then the devil never could find my sins and throw them up to me again. Glory to God, the unsearchable riches of Christ. Now, if you've just joined the church and signed a card and had a little water poured on, or take communion once in a while and put a little money in the coffers of the church, you won't understand that. That'll be a mystery to you. But thank God today you can know something about the unsearchable riches of Christ, be partakers of his promise in Christ. And beloved, you can know the reality of that. I hasten to close. Dr. Yar Overly and Dr. Morrison was in that camp meeting in Wichita that you mentioned to me. Dr. Morrison got up one morning and he said, they said they hadn't had a measurable trace of rain for nearly 3 months. The crops had burned up in the field and the creeks were dry and the cattle were dying. And said Dr. Morrison got up this particular morning and he said, ladies and gentlemen, said, we're going to come to church 30 minutes early this afternoon. And we're going to claim the promise for some rain. We're not coming to pray for missions or for the sick or for the lost. We're coming to pray specifically for rain. And he said, Dr. Overly said, I left my cottage at 10 minutes to 2, started up the pathway, and the path was crowded with people. And he said, all of a sudden I looked around, here come a little 11-year-old girl with an umbrella in her hand. And said, some of those women said, what you going to do with that umbrella? Why, she said, what are we going to pray for? They said, rain. She said, I'm going expecting it to happen. That's the reason a lot of other things don't happen. Because we don't expect them to happen. And he said, I never heard a man pray like Dr. Morrison did. He walked right into the throne room and he told the Father just how desperately rain was needed. Crops drying up, cattle dying, creek beds dry. And he said, Lord, you made a promise and you fulfilled the promise when Elijah contested the prophets of Baal out there on the mountaintop. And even after it hadn't rained for those years and months, you sent rain. And he said, for Jesus' sake, fulfill your promise, give us some rain. He said before he got through preaching that afternoon, the rain was pouring in torrents off of that tabernacle at Wichita, Kansas. And he said, it literally thrilled me to death seeing that little girl walk under that umbrella while that bunch of doubting women got soaking wet. You see, beloved, today, the unsearchable riches in Christ, partakers of the promise in Christ. But then he talks about the purpose in Christ. To the intent that now under the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. Do you know what his purpose is? You know Romans 8:28, and I sign that every time I sign anybody's Bible, I sign Romans 8:28. says, we know that all things work together for good to them that love the Lord, to they which are the called according to his purpose. I referred to that text in camp meeting Bonnie, Illinois. After the service, a little lady came up to me and she said, Brother Loman, you mentioned a verse I can't accept. I said, why? She said, simply because it says that all things work together for good to them that love the Lord. And she stopped there. But this verse says that we know that all things work together for good to them that love the Lord. And it doesn't stop there. It says, to they which are the called according to his purpose. Now, what is his purpose? Paul said, as it was purposed in the mind of God before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Amen. Romans 8:28 will never work out for you if you stop short of that. And beloved, to allow him to fulfill his purpose. You would say, Mr. Loman, that might demand too much. Any demand that it takes for you to be holy, which it's going to take for you to get to heaven, is not too much.
Thanks so much for listening to this broadcast of the Lights of Spiritual Guidance. I hope you'll take a few moments to write us a letter and let us know that you listened to the program. And if you can, send a gift so we can stay on your radio station. You can write to me, The Lights of Spiritual Guidance, 1915 Cottage Avenue, Columbus, Indiana, 47201. Or you can go to our website, lomanministries.org, and give through the Venmo or the PayPal tab. If you're looking for a church home, I know you would be welcome in any of the following churches. In the state of Illinois, Faith Chapel, Carrier Mills. In the state of Kentucky, the churches of the Kentucky Mountain Holiness Association in Eastern Kentucky. In the state of North Carolina, Charity Baptist Church in High Point, Friendship Baptist Church in Willow Springs, Mount Gilead Methodist Church in Trinity, and Trinity Church in Salisbury. In the state of Ohio, Trinity United Brethren Church in Fostoria. And here in Columbus, Indiana, where this program is produced, Bethel Wesleyan Church, Columbus Free Methodist Church, and Flintwood Wesleyan Church. Till the same time next week, don't forget, my friend, I'm still praying for you.